So what was so bad about Sodom and Gomorrah that God wanted to blow them off the face of the earth? God said to Abraham, the outcry is so great and their sin so grievous, I will see it for myself. So what were the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah? Anyone know? You didn't come to Bible study. Anyone? According to Ezekiel 16, verse 49, it said, pride and arrogance and an abundance of food and ease without care for the poor and the needy. I'm sure there were a lot of other issues as well. But those are the main things that God was concerned about. He said, I heard the outcry. He listened to their prayers and is coming to investigate via Abraham's tent. And it's here where we find this delightful game or barter that's played between them. God already knew what he was going to do with Sodom and Gomorrah. He was just doing due diligence before he acted. The discussion that he had for Abraham was for the building up of the relationship between them. And it seems like God was enjoying the interplay that brought them closer to understanding. So let's hold on to that. Now, Jesus was praying in a certain place. Doesn't say where, but fairly specific. When he finishes, one of his disciples said, Lord, teach us how to pray. They saw something special in the way that Jesus prayed. And a lot of the time, there's just lip service paid through prayer, some prayers that are repeated, and particularly in the Jewish religion at the time. They wanted to learn how to pray like him. Can anyone here pray all night? I was having this... Thanks for that. I used to pray on the way to work because I was busy driving. But I find when I'm still and praying, it's so easy to get distracted, and especially with phones. It makes it very hard. So they saw something really special in the fervent way that Jesus prayed with passion. We can learn from the disciples. They didn't pretend to know everything. They were humble. They wanted to grow closer to God and learn to talk to him. So he taught them. Father, may your name be honoured. We start by calling God Father because that reminds us that God loves us and cares for us. We honour God's name when we remember who he is, because he's holy, he's loving, he's powerful and he's good. 2, your kingdom come. We pray for God's rule and his ways to fill our world and our hearts. We want things to be as God wants them to be, full of love and peace and justice. To give us our daily bread. He tells us it's okay to ask God for what we need and to trust God to provide food and shelter and our daily needs, one day at a time. Forgive our sins. We all make mistakes. Jesus teaches us to ask God for forgiveness. He also wants us to forgive others. Do not lead us into temptation. We need God's help to make good choices. Jesus tells us to ask for God's guidance and strength and stay away from the things that are wrong. After giving the prayer, Jesus tells the story of the persistent neighbour. He talks about a man who goes to a mate's house at midnight, if you don't mind, to ask for bread. Now, at first, his mate doesn't want to get up. Typically, in those days, they lived in a one-bedroom house. Kids are in bed. They had the chooks settled down in there as well, the goat. A few bit of livestock, and it took ages to get the house settled so that they could go to sleep. Usually at about sunset or a bit after. last. But then, some tosser comes knocking. Eventually, because he wouldn't stop, his friend gets up. Now, we probably have less patience than God. Probably. He told the story of the persistent neighbour to show that we should keep praying and never give up. Maybe sometimes the answer is that God knows better than us about what our real needs are. Garth Brooks has a song called Some of God's Greatest Gifts Are Unanswered Prayers. And the lyrics tell us about how there was one girl that he prayed would one day be his wife. She got away, and years later, he ran across the girl, now a woman, and all he could think of was, thank you, God, for unanswered prayers. Jesus' promises here are open-ended and non-committal. Ask and you shall receive. Receive what? Seek and you will find. Find what? Knock and the door will be opened. What's behind the door? Prayer is not mainly about asking for things. It is about being in a relationship with God. And he would certainly not give a bad thing like a scorpion. And he might even give you a good thing like an egg. But God gives a much more important thing. God's wiser than any human parent. He will not necessarily give us anything that we ask for, but he will give what we need. And every time, he'll give the Holy Spirit. Prayer is about seeking, finding, and being open to the Spirit rather than what God can do for us. From what I've seen, God doesn't do a lot of flashy miracles. More often than not, God chooses to work through people. People to care, to comfort, people to help. It's like he's trying to connect the whole human race together as well as to him, personally, and is quite happy to involve as many people as he can weave into a situation as he can. Sometimes you are the answer to prayer. When you pray and you care enough to act, you make an opening for God to do something. Jesus is saying that your prayers are always answered. The answer to every prayer is God giving God's very own self to you, to be present with you, no matter what, no matter if you feel it or you don't. God gives you God. It may not be the care, the cure, or the career you are asking for. Sometimes it is. The important thing that Jesus said is that when we come to God in prayer, we do encounter God. So, we need to be prayer pests. We need to be part of the outcry that led God to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, but maybe less of the destruction, a bit more dismantle, because that's nicer. God wants us to pray to him and have a relationship like the one he had with Abraham and grow closer to him in understanding.